several major themes in the building of the building of the Mishkan. The primary themes, of course, the parsha begins with a discussion of the menorah, at least the zayas for the menorah, the requirements. And then it moves from there to discussion of being chanech, the kohanim and the kohuna and big day kohuna. At length, we're told how to make the big day kohuna. It appears in the parsha the big day kohuna is not just a hechsher for the avodas a korban, but like the Gemara says in Tzachim and elsewhere, that the begotten themselves, the clothes make the man in some respect. The shame kahuna depends on the begotten as well. It appears that the making of the begotten is a more than a hechsher mitzvah. It appears that it's an intrinsic mitzvah creating the begotten. The begotten represents some sort of a symbol. That's a big part of the parsha. And then after that, the Torah tells us how it is that the kohanim were to be integrated and initiated into the avoda, in terms of the lovisha sabagadim and the shemen amishcha, and the process of karbanos hamiluim, which are of course very important. And that pretty much brings to a close, or it seems to bring to a close, the description of items required, or kalim, or accoutrements required for the Mishkan, as well as the role of the kohen and the methodology of initiating everything. And then after that, in Perek Chav Gimel, all of a sudden the Torah has a little bit of an appendage to all of this. And that's where we read about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZav, where it's called here, the Mizbeach HaKetoris. The Asisa, after everything is finished up, all the kalim have been defined and described and so on. Some issues have been repeated twice, and we understand how the process of everything. So Torah ends up with a very nice peroration here on the purpose of the Mishkan. V'no'arti shama l'bnei Yisrael v'niktash b'chvodi v'kidashti es ohel moed v'es ha'mizbeach es aron es banav ha'kadish l'chahim li v'shachanti b'tov b'nei Yisrael v'ayisi lahem l'elokim v'yadu ki ani Hashem alo kehem asher tzesi osam eretz Mitzrayim v'shachni b'selcham ani Hashem alo kehem. So it seems like this is the end of the end of the whole parsha, because we have all the details, we have the method of implementation, and then we have the ultimate aspiration that's being declared here. And then it's puzzling that the Torah says, "V'yasisa mizbeach miktar katoras atzei shitin tasa oso." The one kli, which was one item which had been left out, all of a sudden is integrated into the whole picture. We have the dimensions, and then we're told that Tzipisa also Zahav Tahar, Eskago, Eskirosav, Eskarnosav, the Shtei Tabos Zahav Tasalo, Bitachas Lezero, and so on. Vinasata Oso Lifnei HaParoches, Asher Al Oron HaEdus, Lifnei HaKapores, that's Lifnei HaParoches, Lifnei HaKapores, Asher la'edus, asher yivayid l'chashama, v'hiktar lav aron k'toras samim b'boker v'heit tivo saneros yakti rena, from which the Gemara Yuma and elsewhere understands that there's all sorts of a complicated integration between the act of the k'toras and the neros, after five, after two, seven of the neros. U'bahalos aron saneros ben rabay yakti rena, k'toras pamidu p'nei Hashem l'doros lachem, Lo salu alav ketora zara, olo mincha, v'neisech lo sischu alav, v'chiper aron al karnosav, achas bashana, then you have a reference to Yom HaKippurim, v'dam chatas HaKippurim, achas bashana, yichaper lo v'dor haseichem, kodesh kadoshim, hu la'ashem. So it's very, very peculiar. The Torah almost intentionally held out the Mizbeach HaZav, call it the Mizbeach HaKetores for the moment, and put it in a position, in a spot, which where it doesn't seem to fit. And yet, it's not only an afterthought. On the contrary, we have several intriguing formulations here. Linked to Yom Kippur, the Kodesh Kadashim Hila Hashem, we'll explain this in a moment. Lifnei HaKaparos, Lifnei HaParoches, which establish the centrality of this institution, of this Be'ah HaKetubos. All the, not all the, many of the Mefarshim ask this question. They give diverse answers, which we're not going to mention, so we have a few minutes. The Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, the Sfarnu, ask this question. Some of the Achronim ask this question, the Shachachma. Many, many, the Netziv, everybody asks this question. What is going on? Why is the Mizbeach HaKetores isolated from the rest of the Kelim? So it's intriguing and challenging to try to define the role of the Mizbeach HaKetores. I think there are two issues here. One is to try to figure out, I guess philosophically, first halachically, then philosophically, what the Mizbeach Hazav accomplishes in the larger scheme of things. And there are different perspectives. More to the point, I think the issue is not so much to figure out what theme it is, but what is its structural function in the Mishkan. Namely, how does it, what is its standing vis-a-vis other institutions? That is to compare the Mizbeach HaZahav with the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, first and foremost. Because that's the most natural comparison. Two Mizbeachs, right? Different dimensions, maybe spoken of in different, made of different materials, spoken of in different ways, right? Mizbeach HaNechoshes, Mizbeach HaZahav, Mizbeach HaOlam, Mizbeach HaKetores. What is in the Azara, the other is in the Heichal. the things that, you know, that bind them together, the common denominator, and yet the sharp contrast. That's one important avenue. What is, why isn't it redundant to have a Mizbeach HaKetores? Is that a function of Ketores, or is it, on the contrary, you, the Ketores is the outlet, but it, basically the real theme is to have this Mizbeach Hazav. Mizbeach HaKetores. That's part of the question. That's one area. Productive area of comparison and contrast. The other, of course, is inside the Heichal itself. The relationship between the Mizbeach HaZahav, HaKetores, and the Shulchan and the Menorah, right, all three share the Heichal. The Aron is inside the Kodesh HaKadashim. These are the three that are in the Kodesh. So comparing the Mizbeach HaZahav with the other two is also a productive avenue. What's interesting is that if you look at the total picture, so what emerges is a kind of a, again, a dialectical picture. On the one hand, it seems like the Mizbeach HaZahav is extraneous and more peripheral halachically and in terms of, again, the physical structure of things. Halachically, and in terms of the Pesukim, as I say, it's brought in as an afterthought after the, one would have thought it should have been in Parshas Truma already. And if not in Truma, at least in the beginning of Tetzava, before that final peroration of the Shachanti, the Selchem, and all the, and the methodology of being the Kadesh, and so on. And yet it's not. It's separate and almost as an afterthought. Moreover, in the Heichal itself, right? So in the structure of things, so the Mizbeach HaZahav is further away than the other two. You have the Aron, and then in each side of the Aron, as you move out into the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadosh, you have the Shulchan and the Menorah, and then you have the Mizbeach HaZahav. It's again, structurally, is more distance on the outside of the, I guess, the Heichal, rather than on the inside of the Heichal. To make it closer to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, or, symbolically, it's more extraneous than the others in the Heichal. More even important than that is the fact that the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaKetores, is not Ma'akev for the Ketores. Once you are Mekadesh, the Mizbeach HaZahav, and you set it up, so then, if it's Ne'akar, you can actually do the Avodas HaKetores in the Kovo. That's established by the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, that the Makom is Mekudash. And because the Makom is Mekudash, therefore you can be Makrim, or Maktir, the Ketores, the Makomo, even without the Mizbeach. Again, a further indication that either it is extraneous, or an afterthought, or distant, Meshech Chachma suggests that the halacha established in the Gemara and Zvachim that I just mentioned is the actual reason why it is that that the Torah mentions this apparently after the fact and as an afterthought, because then he goes through each piece. He says every other item that has been developed is something that is ma'akev for the avoda in one way or another. It could be for the menorah, could be for the karbanos, but everything is ma'akev. Without a mizbeach hanachoches, you can't bring the karbanos. Without a menorah, you can't light the neros, and so on and so forth. Each element is necessary. The only thing that's, you know, expendable in the whole structure of the Mishkan is the Mizbeach HaKetores, and that's the reason why it comes after everything else. That's the Meshech Chachma's suggestion. It tries to bedayik this also from the, that it's already meduyak in the pasuk in Malachim, the Hiktiroso Asher Lefnei Hashem. It doesn't even mention the Mizbeach HaKetores, because the Mizbeach HaKetores is not necessary. It creates a certain status or stature to the Makom, but once that's established, then it becomes expendable. So there are indications, and more indications as well, that the Mizbeach Zahav is more peripheral, more extraneous, as I say, more expendable. At the same time, when you read the Pesukim, you certainly get the opposite impression as well. Number one, it's not just any Mizbeach, it's Mizbeach Miktar Ketores. Even though the Makom can be a substitute after the fact is that the Mizbeach is defined by the Ketores. Now one could still say, as I said before, in terms of the relationship between the Mizbeach and its function, right, it could go in either direction. It could be that the Mizbeach Hazav is there because it's needed for the Ketores. Or it could be that the Ketores is the appropriate outlet or the appropriate way to express or exhibit the Kedusha of the Mizbeach Hazav. The fact that it's defined as a Mizbeach Miktar HaKetores, in any case, seems to be important and seems to give it stature. Again, if you want to downplay this, you could say, yeah, it gets stature from the Miktar HaKetores. It doesn't have any stature in its own right. Really, the Makom is what's really important. But one could see it the other way as well. And that is, this is a Mizbeach, which was built for this particular purpose, singular purpose, but that is defining. Again, you have to look at the way that the Mizbeach HaNechoshes is sometimes called, usually it's called, sometimes it's called Mizbeach HaOla, sometimes it's Mizbeach HaNechoshes. The Mizbeach HaKetores, on the other hand, is more clearly defined in Torah Shemach Sabbath, at least, as Mizbeach HaKetores. That's one indication, but one which I say, you know, is can be interpreted in either way. On the other hand, the formulation Lifnei HaKapores and Lifnei HaParoches, which we have here, Hikrav Aaron Ketores Samen Baboker Baboker. Again, the Torah says here, Nasata Oso Lifnei HaParoches Asher Al Aaron HaEdus Lifnei HaKapores Asher Al HaEdus Asher Yibaed Lecha Shama. Contrast that with the other two rivals or partners in the Heichal, the Shulchan and the Menorah. Normally, when we speak about things that are done in the Shulchan and the Menorah, we speak about Michutz LaParoches. I think some of the Mepharshim note this. I think maybe Shem Shem Paul Hirsch notes this. It's just interesting that the Torah speaks in the negative when it talks about the, you know, the relationship between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Shulchan and the Menorah, and it speaks more positively about the Mizbeach HaKetores. One is Lifnei HaParoches VaKapores, and the other is Michutz LaParoches. Even though factually, in terms of the actual distance, it's the opposite. As we noted, the Shulchan and the Menorah are actually closer. And yet, the Torah uses opposite perspectives to describe what it is that's going on. Surely, that's noteworthy. What you want to do with it is something else. But it implies, again, a certain higher stature, greater distance physically, and yet the you know, more on the outside of the Heichal, but in a way, closer to the Aron. That also may be to another structural point, it may be technical, or this also may be important. And that is, the Shulchan and the menorah are on the sides, they're closer to, but they're on the sides of the Aron. And of course, the Mizbeach HaKetores is really facing the Aron. So it's further away, but in another respect, it's more lifnei. Again, one could answer the other, or these could be parallel expressions of the same interesting, complex perspective that the Torah is trying to project to us about the nature of Mizbeach HaKetores and its relationship to the Shulchan and the Menorah. In terms of the relationship to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, on the one hand, Mizbeach HaNechoshes is more indispensable, and not only that, it's the basis for the world of Karbanos, by and large, certainly real Karbanos. On the other hand, the Gemara Zvachim Daf Chazayin Amud Aleph establishes that the status of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes is that of a Ritzpah, while the status of the Mizbeach HaKetores is one of the Klisharis. And in terms of the ability to be Yotzei Mikdushaso, that's important. And not only that, but there are other tangible Nafkamina, in terms of the issue of, Dvarim She'enam Ru'uyim Im Allah Yered or Allah lo Yered, which is a big issue. So basically, when it comes to Mizbeach HaNechoshes, we say Im Allah Yered. It's only Mekadesh, Dvarim Haruim Liskadesh. The Mizbeach HaKetores, on the other hand, is Mekadesh, even Dvarim She'enam Ru'uyim Liskadesh. In a way, it has a stronger or more powerful impact on things that it comes in contact with. It has greater transforming power, one might say, in that it has the ability to mekadesh davar shein aroi, exerts greater influence. It could be that this is linked to another phenomenon that, again, the Farshim note, and that is that when it comes to the Shulchan, when it comes to the menorah, when it comes to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the Torah describes it as Kodesh HaKadashim, and again, Chazal says that means is it's davar hamekadesh. Anything that's nogea the mizbeach, betroi, so it's mekadesh. When it comes to the mizbeach haketores, the Torah says that it's kodesh kadashim laHashem. Right, that's the final pasuk. V'chiper Aaron al karno sev achas pashana, bidam chatas hakipurim achas pashana yechaper alav b'doros aichem, kodesh kadashim hu laHashem. It's not just kodesh kadashim; it's kodesh kadashim laHashem. So some of the I think that Nitziv makes this comment that maybe that is how we know this discrepancy between Mizbeach HaNechoshes and Mizbeach HaZahav, that one is Mekadesh only Dvarim Haruim, things that are conducive to being Miskadesh, and the other exerts this greater influence, has this greater transforming power, because it's not only Kodesh Kadashim, it's Kodesh Kadashim LaShem. So again, this is very puzzling. On the one hand, it's not indispensable. It's further away. It's not in the real parsha, and on the other hand, it exerts greater influence, and it's more lifnei Hashem. Yeah.
Sorry, maybe that's why it's dispensable, because it exerts so much extra influence that once it's been there, even if it's gone, the influence remains.
Could be. Except again, in terms of it leaves such an impression.
Yeah.
It's possible. Makes sense. Even in terms of the physical structure of things. So again, getting back to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, as some of the Farshim note, so Nechoshes, is a cruder metal, unrefined, and more like a raw material. And Zahav, of course, has a certain purity, and you have to work on making something Zahav Tahar. It implies a certain investment of time, a refinement, a certain ideal. Yeah. So the question arises, how do we understand these things? Let me just mention two other points based on Sukkim. Pasuk here, Perek Lamed Pasuk Tes, Lo Salu Alav Ketores Zara, Olo Mincha V'Nesach Lo Sisko Alav. Of course, number one, the only thing you can be makriv on this karban, you should be makriv, is the Ketores. And not only that, but we're told that Lo Salu Alav Ketores Zara. they don't have such a parallel isur with regard to any of the other accoutrements that we're talking about. Not the mizbeach and the choshes, and not the whatever it is that goes on, the things that go on the menorah and the shulchan. Special halacha here, we're more makbid about following precisely the formula and the rules. That's particularly striking because the shiur, actually, of Ketores is actually more flexible than the dinim of other karbanos. So again, you have both of these things. On the one hand, you can't deviate kihuzeh from what the Torah insists that you do when it comes to Ketores. Ketores zara, that's a separate prohibition. It does have a parallel in the others. On the other hand, we're more flexible to begin with in, let's say, the shiurim of Ketor. We do a manaba, you know, one baboker, one ba'er, but it's the drabanan, but in our Torah, you have greater flexibility in personal choice. The other, of course, is the issue of the connection to Yom Kippur. The Torah is telling us that the Kippur alan arkarnosa achas bashana. So midam chatas kippurim. It's interesting. One could have said that this should be in Parshas Achrimos alone, meaning it's part of Avodas Yom Kippur. It sounds as if, by being placed here in Parshas Tzaveh, the fact that this kapara takes place achas bashana is not only the akiyum in Avodas Yom Kippurim, but it's akiyum in the Mizbeach HaKetores as well, reflects something. The link to Yom Kippur and the concept of Achas Bashana and the idea that this is the source for Tahara of Mikdash V'Kadasha, which is what that is, Achas Bashana, it sounds like that isn't similar to the question raised about Ketores before. It's not a din in Avodas Yom Kippurim alone, it's also a din in the special character of the Mizbeach HaKetores. Some of the Mepharshim ask the question, after all, aren't we also maze midam the other parim hanisrafim? Parim damrishol tzibur, and so on. You know, why isn't that mentioned here in the Parsha? So all sorts of answers are given. Some say, well, that's not kavua. I think the Mishnah Kabbalah says this. It's not kavua. After all, you know, there can be years where there is no karban parim damrishol tzibur, or other paraman nisrafim. The only nisrafim that are kavua, that are kavua at a certain time, A, B, guaranteed to happen once a year, is Yom Kippur. Quite possibly, that's a fine answer, but I wonder whether one couldn't suggest a different answer, based on what I just said, and that is that when it comes to the other nisrafim, and the hazah, alam izbeach, which is, of course, the halacha, there's no reason to mention it in Parshas Tetzaveh, because it's not a kiyum in the Mizbeach Hazah, it's a kiyum in that korban. That's the appropriate thing to do with that korban, and maybe the link to Mizbeach HaKetores, or by default, there's no other better place, whatever it is, says something about the nature of those hakrabos, very possibly, and maybe reflects a little bit on the Ketores, on the Mizbeach HaKetores as well, but if it does, it just reinforces something that we already know. The Torah, by emphasizing the Achas Bashana and the link to Yom Kippur, to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and to the concept of Tahara here in Tetzaveh, is accenting the idea that this isn't just the best place for that, but that the link is something which reflects and attests to the nature of the Mizbeach HaKetores itself. Both to its uniqueness and to its specific character. In a way, everything that we've pointed out all highlights why it is maybe that the Torah really separates the discussion of Mizbeach HaKetores from everything else, because it really is very unique. It really is very very singular. It's very difficult to pin down. It appears that the Musar Haskel of all of this is that the phenomenon of Mizbeach HaZahav HaKetores is the phenomenon of a certain greater ambition and idealism. According to some of the Mepharshim, the Mizbeach HaKetores is meant to be an integrating was meant to have an integrating function. The Tziv says this and others. The Tziv sees it as the symbol of Gvilas Chasadim. The Kliyakar sees it as the symbol of Kaparas HaNeshama as opposed to Kaparas HaGuf, which is obviously much more subtle and much more, you know, profound. Again, there could be a symbol of many different things. To me, that's not the most important issue. What they have in common is they seem to perceive the role of Mizbeach HaKetores as one of a kind of idealistic, purist, more ambitious kapara, or more ambitious, pure experience of hakrava. And they seem to see this itself as the main characteristic of Mizbeach HaKetores, of Ketores itself, and of the Mizbeach, which is indeed Zaha, and which is therefore viewed in this dialectical manner, both as being more extraneous, as not being indispensable, because of the core requirements, let's say, of Hakrava, the higher ambition and even the need for Mizbeach HaKetores doesn't warrant the same treatment as everything else. The things that are basic and fundamental and, you know, that are the building blocks of Avodas Hashem or Avodas HaKarbanos, they have to be mentioned in Truma and in Tetzaveh before the end of the Shachanti B'socha. Moreover, they have to be indispensable, irreplaceable. And they have to have a fixed definition and place. The Mizbeach HaKetores, because it represents that extra stage, that higher ambition, or the integration of some of the features. Again, it's particularly attractive for some of Farshim to see the Mizbeach HaKetores as an integrative theme of the Shulchan and the Menorah. Right? Because, again, you have the Shulchan and the Menorah, and then parallel to the Aron, you have the Mizbeach HaZah. Again, in terms of the themes behind it, of the motifs, so, you know, the Shulchan is Gashmios, and the Menorah is Talmud Torah, or Ruchnias, and the Mizbeach HaKetores, you know, with the Daka Min HaDaka, or Yom Kippur Daka Min HaDaka, and every day in Daka, you know, the wafting fragrance of the Ketores, you know, that's the mitzarev, that's the mishalev, that's the integrating factor. But again, I don't mind staying away from the particular motif. Doesn't interest me. The structure, the phenomenon, interests me a little bit more, or I think at least it's more productive to pursue. So basically, Mizbeach HaZahav reflects the integration of some of the themes of Avodas Hashem in the structure of the Mishkan, but again, that is more than the sum of its parts, and that therefore represents a higher ambition. For that reason, it is less nachut, it's less indispensable, it is more extraneous and can be treated outside of the regular parsha, it can be substituted for, it's more distant from the Aron in one sense. At the same time, we are much more, and it's more flexible in terms of its shiur. At the same time, when pursued properly, it actually is more makbil, it's more rachot, but it's also more makbil to the aron. And precisely because there is greater flexibility and it represents a higher ambition, its relationship to the aron, which symbolically is a relationship to halacha and to Torah, the Luchos and the Aram, again, is a more complex one. On the one hand, it's more distant. You can get away without it. It's more flexible. On the other hand, from a value point of view, its only significance is the degree to which it enhances the message of the Aram. So it's more distant, and at the same time, more flexible, and at the same time, it's not michutz laparoches. It's lifnei aparoches and lifnei akaparos. That's exactly what it is. And therefore, it's mizbeach Zahav tahar. It's refined. It applies a certain measure of investment and of purity. It's an all or nothing kind of akrava. And from that point of view, it's subject to ketara zara. Again, its ambition makes it vulnerable to distortion. It's only worthwhile pursuing the ketores if you're going to do it properly. So with the greater flexibility, there's also greater kpeda on its boundaries, in a way. Whatever boundaries do exist are more inviolate than even the other korbanos. But at the same time, the transforming power, the exertion of influence, when properly pursued, is of course greater. And that's why, on the one hand, there's the Isur of Ketara Zara, and on the other hand, there's the formulation of Kodesh Kadashim, which are the final words of the Parsha, Kodesh Kadashim Hu Lashem. And maybe that really is the makar, that Im Allah Lo Yered, even Dvarim She'enam Re'uyim, cannot help but be transformed by the theme of the Mizbeach HaKetores, by the theme of the Mizbeach Hazah. The truth is that this theme that you have, the basic building blocks and then the core structure and the indispensable, accoutrements on the one hand, and they're much more basic on a certain level, and then beyond that, as an integrating force, or as a more ambitious expression, you have something which is, both more flexible, more, dispensable, but at the same time, held to higher standards, and ultimately, with the proper structure, of course, more influential and more significant. That idea is an idea that that is pervasive in Yahadus and in the world of Halacha. It really parallels the structure of Kedusha in other issues as well. Again, the link between Yom Kippurim, Achas Vashana, and the ambition of Tahara, of Kodesh Kadashim, Kodesh, and the Azara, as being linked to this Mizbeach, of course, fits in very nicely with this concept. Something that is Achas Vashana, but it's, I spoke about earlier in the year, for Yom Kippur, that maybe the linchpin of Achas Vashana. The whole Shana depends on that Achas Vashana. And in this sense, we find generally that things that are ideal are both more extraneous and also held to higher standards, but often ultimately more influential and more transforming. And this is true in Kedushas Hazman, it's true in Kedushas Hamakom, and it's true in our daily life of Kedusha as well. There are certain things that are much more basic and necessary. Again, I've spoken about in the past, the concept of Yuara, as I understand it, a very strange idea in Halakha, but as I understand it, the concept of Yuara is really the issue of consistency and of evaluating certain actions or standards in a meaningful way based on other things, based on the context and perspective of other things that you do. A person who does the core requirements properly and step by step and lives a certain consistent, perfect life, but he lives a consistent life. So for him to be machmir in certain things, we usually say about that if it's a good chumra, meaning one which reflects a certain halachic ideal. It's not a counterproductive chumra, it's an issue in its own right. But we say about him, tovol bracha. It's a very good thing. After all, he's integrated the basic requirements, and he's ready to move to a higher level of observance and sensitivity, given what he's doing and his integrated lifestyle, or the pieces of his lifestyle. So this additional acceptance of a higher, more rigorous standard is admirable and has impact as well. A person who skips those early steps, but he's machmir on same chumra. In other words, you have two neighbors, and for one he says, kol machmir tov alav bracha. It's quite possible that for the second fellow, his neighbor, we say, Mechsi Kiyora, and we basically discourage him from doing it, because we have a sense that it's, you know, it's almost hideous that he's doing this. Number one, there's the suspicion that psychologically, you know, he's hiding behind the chumra that he adopts, you know, to assuage his self-image in such a way that it, you know, distracts him or it absolves him from doing the things that he should be doing. And I think oftentimes that is true. And even if that's not so, the fact still is that given this person's overall religious conduct, what he's doing now just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit in the picture. It's not a more ideal state or an integrated or simply an additional chumrah. It just doesn't fit. It takes on a completely different meaning and significance. Only in context can this be admirable, and in a negative context, not only can be not admirable, it's not even neutral. In some cases, it's negative. And you find this throughout the world of halakha. You find things that, you know, have the, you know, potential to be transforming and are held to very high standards, but out of context or in a different context, they have a different meaning. We spoke last year a little bit about Aseh Bochalos Aseh, and the Ramban's idea that Aseh represents Ahavas Hashem, and Los Aseh represents Yiras Hashem. We pointed out that basically, if you analyze, you know, which is prior, which has, you know, supremacy, Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem, it's an interesting question. So according to the Ramban's suggestion, according to Ramban's scheme, if you say Aseh Dochalos Aseh, so we're saying that Essen are more chamor than Lavin, and that Avas Hashem is more chamor, more important, takes priority over Yiras Hashem. But we know it isn't true, because in the larger picture, Essen are, you know, are just that, and if you don't do an Aseh, so you've lost an opportunity. And Lavin impose upon you Onshin. And Essen, you can avoid, you know, if it's for a good cause. Yesh kol kiyat kakom lakar daum na Torah, you know, b'shev al tase. But Lavin, you know, are much more difficult. And Essen, there might be a financial ceiling. In Lavin, you know, there probably isn't. So which really is of greater priority? Which is of greater axiological value? Lavin or Essen? How can we say Aseh Dochalos Aseh with all the other evidence? But suggested then, similar to what I'm suggesting now, I think it's a broader theme in halacha, and that is that the issue isn't so simple. It's not a question of whether Essen or Lavin are more important. The point is that Lavin are more basic. They represent the core curriculum, you know, the core obligations of every Jew. And if you miss opportunities of Avodas Hashem in the context of Mitzaseh, that's not as bad as violating Lavin. That's a much more critical violation. The issue of Aseh Dochalos Aseh is a totally different question. It means in the context of an integrated religious life, in which you are fully committed to Essen and to Lavin, so what happens when you encounter a situation where, unfortunately, you have to make a choice? The choice that you're making isn't a function of your disregard for or lack of appreciation for, you know, what it is that you have to give up. On the contrary, it can be seen in the context of your religious ambition. And you don't want to give up anything, and therefore you want to take the more ideal path given the unfortunate, unhappy reality that a choice needs to be made. So when I violate in a vacuum, a lav, and when I violate or ignore an aseh, there's no question that the violation of the lav is much more serious than the missed opportunity of the aseh. But in the context where I want to do everything, but I can't, in the context of my ambition and my consistency and conformity, I have to make a hard decision. So then we're told that aseh dochalos aseh. Since it's not an act of merit, on the contrary, it's the reason that I want to violate this lav is only because of my avas Hashem. Not an avas Hashem which comes at the expense of yiras Hashem. On the contrary, something that can be viewed as Avas Hashem precisely because separately it flows from my Yiras Hashem. So then we say, Asa de Cholos Asa. And in a sense, that is the message of the Mizbeach HaZahav, and that's why it's Kodesh Kadashim Hu LaShem. And the truth is, this is an issue that reflects everything that we do in our lives. When we have to make hard choices, you know, we always have to evaluate those choices to determine whether or not the decisions that we're making are functions of, you know, insufficient enthusiasm, insufficient commitment, and so on. Or on the contrary, it's the difficult decisions that we make flow from our greater commitment and our idealism, our desire to embrace the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Mizbeach HaKetores. And it's very subtle. Sometimes you have the same situation, two different people, or the same person at two different times. And sometimes the decisions he's making really flow from his insufficient commitment. And in other cases, they really are a function of a greater ambition. It looks like the same thing, but it's not. And the proper choice is sometimes different depending on the circumstances. And let's say this is true for daily life, and it's true for you know, the kind of ideology that you embrace, you know, in your larger commitment to Yahadus as well. Again, the most basic components of a committed halakhic life are clear. They're Shmiras HaMitzvos and they're Talmud Torah. These are the building blocks, and no one has the right to abdicate any of them. And these should be pursued with great rigor and with great passion. If a person believes that his commitment transcends that, not transcends Avodas Hashem, but he believes in a larger or broader or more ambitious Avodas Hashem, one that includes Tikkun Olam, one that includes integrating his life, you know, with the physical world in a more meaningful way. You can call it the life of Torah Omada or the life of Torah Im Derech Eretz, whatever you want to call it, the Torah B'Chachma, whatever you want to, Torah V'Tikkun Olam, whatever version you know, you think you know, is the one that is the most ambitious version. So again, he has to be clear that, you know, first and foremost, he has in place the structures of Mizbeach HaNechoshes and the Shulchan and the Menorah. He has to have the pieces. He has to have the pieces there. And in one respect, they are prior. They're closer to the Aron, and they are indispensable. Once he has that, and he's committed to it, so then comes the Parsha of the Mizbeach HaZahav. Then, the role that the Mizbeach HaZahav can play as an integrating force, or simply as an enhancement of that ambition, can be one, you know, which puts everything together and is much more than the sum of its parts, and really exerts enormous influence both on his life and the life of people around him. And ultimately achieves the same thing that Yom Kippur achieves. You know, it establishes the real foundation of our commitment, and it in turn becomes the basis for Kodesh Kadashim Hu LaShem. Okay. Sorry. I didn't know it was going to take that long, but let's move on to back to the situation.